Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? Enjoy another micro episode, this time with our good friends at Blue On. Now, listen up. This episode's not just about Blue On, it's about the service that Blue On provides to help your technicians be better, faster, more efficient. Enjoy this episode with my good friends at Blue On. Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, and my good friend, my dear friend, my sweet, kind-hearted friend with the lovely beard, Mr. Chad Peterman, my co-host. Chad, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Summer is here. Finally. Month late.
Did that intro make you feel good?
I stopped listening about halfway through. I appreciate it.
God, you insensitive son of a bitch. God, I can't do anything nice for you. Hey, I'm excited to see you tomorrow. I guess I won't be tonight, even though I get in late tonight. I'm excited to see you tomorrow morning when you wake me up early.
It's going to be great.
Just make sure
you have coffee ready.
The bedroom door cracked. Okay, that's how this episode is going to go today, boys. Like it or not, that's how it's going to go. Well, you know what? We don't do this very often, this type of an episode where we actually bring on a particular company, you know, that's a service, a product or whatever. But when we do, it's because it's one that we believe genuinely is helpful and, you know, is helpful. And Chad uses, you know, this company Blue On. And so I've listened. This is like, I am admitting I've never met our guests until like today, like right now. So like, this is going to be, we're going to raw dog it, boys. Like, we're just going to get after it.
Do it.
Yeah. Peter Cappucciati.
Boom.
Peter Cappucciati, Chairman and CEO of Blue On, as well as Taylor Disler, Vice President of Business Development / Sales, whatever. So, boys, welcome to The Point.
All right on, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to get into this, especially because, Peter, you don't come from this world. So I'm like, why in the hell did you get into HVAC? Like, what?
I ask that question every day.
But what I hear is, I'll be interested to hear the brain power behind like the fundamentals of why Blue On, what you're doing with Blue On, like how it all came about. I'm really interested in it. But to all the listeners, this is going to be a technician first episode, okay? As or Peter calls them, the guardians of the industry, the technicians. But I do want to give a quick shout out to my boy Logan Marshall for making the connection, and also Peter to you guys for being a sponsor of the podcast. Super appreciate that. And by the way, listeners, we had this booked before they came on as a sponsor. Okay, so this was not like some prerequisite; like we had it booked beforehand. But it is cool. We also have, you know, quite a few mutual clients and FH for Apex Pros, Gettle, 1 Hour, and Chad's, you know, a client of your guys's as well. So he'll be able to get from his perspective, but this is some pretty cool stuff. And as we get into it, I'm going to share a little bit of information for you guys that maybe you didn't know about my journey through a similar process as Blue On back in like 2015, 16, huh? That pique your interest. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? It was nowhere near as cool as this, but it kind of scratched the surface on it. But before I do any of that, boys, there's something that we got to do right out of the gate that if I didn't do it, Chad's going to be upset. And our listeners will definitely be more upset, because then Chad's going to try to, you know, overcorrect by trying to say his own dumbass dad joke at the end of the show. Like, I was the one that forgot and he remembered. And so to save us all some heartache, I'm going to share 3 dad jokes. And gentlemen, if you know the answer, please don't be ashamed to just blurt it out. It's actually a gold star if you know the answer, and I'll be super impressed. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. The first one's like, we just got to ease it in, okay? Why did the man name his dogs Rolex and Timex?
No.
Okay. Because they're both watchdogs. Get it? Get it? That's Rolex, rough. Timex.
I get it. Okay. That's rough.
Okay, that was the easy one. Okay. They're dad jokes, boys. They're dad jokes. Now we're going to step it up. You ready? Okay, number two. What do you call, Peter, you should, this is fucking right up your alley. Well, you should know the answer.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. What do you call an Italian hooker?
Oh, I hurt my thigh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Muscle.
Okay. Now, you can act like you don't know, but it's all give. I'll give the answer. A pasta toot.
Oh, wow.
Hey, ladies, you've still been a pasta toot.
Oof.
Chad, come on, buddy. No? Okay, this next one's going to get you, buddy. Okay, there's a little smile.
Let's say what you have.
Okay, last one. We're going to bring it home.
Bring it
home. Why don't chickens wear underwear? Why don't chickens wear underwear? No? No? Nothing? No guesses?
Nope. What do you got?
Because their peckers are on their face.
Okay. That was not bad. All right. Not bad.
Okay. Let's get to the good stuff. Chad, God, man, you're stonewalling me today. That's, I'm
a full stone. I know. This last one wasn't bad. But, you know, just trying to play to all different walks of our audience, whether you're R-rated or, you know, G-rated, you know, whatever you got.
Well, I just let it rip. I did ask ahead of time, so I kind of got to know my I knew that I figured Peter. I didn't necessarily know about Taylor, but I figured Peter's good. You're good, Taylor. So just let him look.
There's no limit there. Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, so let's jump into this episode. And what I want to do, Peter, is just start off with, again, this is going to be like a technician first episode, right? So as I was preparing for this, I learned so much more about Blue On. And again, this is not like this episode isn't necessarily about Blue On. It's about what Blue On does for you, the listeners, the contractors, your businesses, the technicians, all the above. It's super cool stuff and things that like you maybe don't I don't think about from my marketing world, but then once you start thinking about the efficiency that this creates for the technicians on site, all the extra things, this makes perfect sense. And I can understand like how this would absolutely impact, you know, these businesses. But first things first, Peter, and let's start with, because you didn't come from the HVAC world.
Nope.
Yeah. Just maybe help me, the listeners all understand like, why did you come in? Why did you make, what were you doing? And like, why did you come into this space? Like maybe help me just connect some dots there.
Well, I'm a masochist. So that was the first reason, but no, let me, it's a really, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Cause it's a bit of a lengthy story, but I'll give you the super short version.
Thank you.
So I come from a really bizarre background. So I'm a physicist who became a commercial real estate guy, who had a midlife crisis, who wanted to get back to research, who founded a company named Blue On to do research on chemistry. That company, the original company Blue On, was there to figure out new refrigerants, solve the R22 phase-out problem. This was back in 2013, 2014. That journey led us to create an app to get technicians to try the damn refrigerant and make it easy for them. And we were so naive and so ignorant, we didn't realize that there were, you know, tens of millions of types of equipment and model numbers in the market. So our idea was, hey, we'll just create an app with every known model. The tech will plug in the model and we'll tell them what to do to put the new refrigerant. That was our idea. So we did that. But along the way, we gathered all of the like manuals, wiring diagrams, service bulletins around each piece of that equipment that we put in the original app, which is about 100,000 models back in 2018 when we launched this. So we had this refrigerant. It was great. It worked amazing. We couldn't get anybody to try it. Technicians were jaded, pissed off at prior uses, had gotten burned. Like, we want no part of that. You know, no thank you. So we had to get them. I always say technicians can't say yes, but they can say no. Right. And so there were a lot of no's going on. So that was our whole genesis to create this methodology to figure out if you could retrofit or not. Long story short, we published the app with this retrofit instructions, but you could also look up models by brand agnostically and get the data, get the manual, the wiring diagrams, all the data around that unit. And holy mother of God, was that popular. And all of a sudden we had 150,000 technicians consuming this brand agnostic database that we'd put out there for free in order to help with the refrigerant. And, you know, along that way, we were like, well, holy crap, this is a way bigger problem than we were trying to solve with the refrigerant. You know, this absence of technical data and technical support for both residential and commercial technicians was mind-blowing. It just was incredible to us that there was just nothing out there. Like, you couldn't find this data if your life depended on it, unless you worked at an OEM or had a, you know, back door to an OEM's site. So we really were sort of dumbfounded by the lack of that information. And within a year, we went from a chemical company to a software company. This is back in 2020, which is, you know, not normal, right, at all. But luckily, we were a bunch of, you know, kind of misfits, not from the HVAC world. We're a bunch of engineers and computer scientists and software guys who were just into solving problems, right? Not really that focused on a particular industry. And as you know, in HVAC, there's a lot of freaking problems, particularly on the data side. We can get into that, like why the data is all screwed up and how that happened and how it got so opaque and difficult for technicians. So from that point in time in 2020, we've just been leaning into it, how to monetize it, how to add more value, how to make the data and the support more accessible and easy for green techs, seasoned techs, old techs, young techs. And there's a lot more to that story I can get into about how we figured out the AI and how that came to be. But ultimately, that's the story of Peter going from, you know, a physicist to a commercial real estate guy to a midlife crisis to a chemical company to a holy crap, technicians are blind, they need data. Right. That's the short story.
I mean, it makes total sense.
That's the short story.
It makes total sense. I get it.
Well, but it really is remarkable. Like, the more you dig into it, it's almost like it was purposely done, like the hiding of this information from the techs. It really is remarkable when you dig into it.
So I'm going to Chad, I can't remember if I've told you this before or not. I think, did you remember that we, Rhino, used to build apps for contractors like a decade ago? Do you remember that at all? Let's talk about that.
I do.
So yeah.
I think it was in eighth grade, seventh grade, something like that when you guys started.
This guy today. Damn. Jeez.
That was an old joke. You walked right into it.
Yeah. Hurts my feelings, Chad. So yes, when Chad was in eighth grade, I was creating apps. So the theory behind it was, from a marketing perspective, I thought, I want to be first to the game. I want to create apps for contractors. Now, why the hell would a contractor need an app? Or why would a homeowner like want a contractor's app? And the thought was, well, for the membership customers, is you would give them the app and they could book their appointments through the app. And really, it wasn't like connected to the CRM or anything like that. It was just you get preferential treatment if you use the app. And you could pick your, you know, your time frames, and you put in your customer, your name and information, location, and then you put in your time frames and you hit submit. And in their mind, the customer says, check the box, I've done, I got an appointment set. But really all it did was send an email to the dispatcher, who then had to call back and follow up with it. So, but this is, we're talking a decade ago. And in that app, I just kept adding to it. Now, I was a Carrier and Bryant preferred vendor, so I had full access to all the schematics and all that stuff. So eventually I started loading in all the equipment. So I was loading in all the equipment into this app as well. So if a technician went into it, they could go in and find a schematic. You know, you couldn't do like this, you know, SKU search or nothing like that. So you still had to like punch in. It was like, definitely, I mean, we're talking again a decade ago, but the thought was, is, hey, you know, I could, it's also good for you and your technicians, because if you're on site and you have a problem with this wiring diagram, you can just go into here and boom, and you click on the product and boom, it pulls up the whole, you know, PDF of the wiring diagram. So, that was a decade ago. Now, I don't know shit about all that, but I else was trying it, but it was very weak. It wasn't meant for that. It was just like, really, it was, I wanted to build a bunch of apps. And by the way, getting in the app building business sucked. It completely derailed me for like at least 3 years, 4 years, and went from being great to costing me a lot of money. But I'm out of that game for a while.
And therefore out. Yeah.
But maybe let's go ahead and do this then. So give me like a good business case for a contractor owner, you know, to, you know, and maybe how it translates to like better margins, better customer service, or maybe even like employee retention, because there's like this time of year, summertime, technician burnout's like a thing. So maybe give us a good use case there.
Yeah. I'll hit that, and Taylor, feel free to jump in. He's selling this more often than I am. But you know, just on that last one you said on retention, we see a lot of folks now, a lot of contractors, a lot of name brand ones that are now, when they're recruiting, they're including the fact that they've got Blue on their stack, because it's such a help, right? To a technician, it's a frustration reducer. You know, it's a way to increase productivity and keep them sane on the job and not getting stuck. But generally, the way we sell it, if we're selling it we sell it differently to residential and commercial. It's kind of two different playbooks. But in the home services space, we sell it basically as a time machine, a way to get time, billable hours back on the books, get more jobs done with less people, increase customer satisfaction, increase overall retention, and decrease callbacks, increase revenue per tech, dramatic decrease in callbacks, decrease the calls to your service manager. They can focus on growing the business. But ultimately, it's a way to put more billable hours on the docket with the same team per week by getting through more jobs. Even if you can get unstuck twice a month with a senior tech, I mean, the bottom line impact of that is pretty profound relative to the marginal cost of the application. But generally speaking, on the resi side, it's a productivity gain, it's a time gain, and we see it. The data is pretty clear. You can see, particularly on your, I'd say your sort of like green to moderate experience techs, you see a big boost in their productivity and their ability to conquer tasks that they wouldn't be able to conquer otherwise. You can also graduate guys quicker to service tech from maintenance or from installers. In a job, in a world with not enough techs and too many jobs, it's a way to really, boost your ability to take advantage of that. What'd you add to that, Taylor? You're the big seller.
No, I mean, I think that's, you hit pretty much everything. Kind of all of our KPIs that we talk through for each business. But I mean, I think it's like the great enabler. I think providing intelligence at the point of service when you need it most is something that just hasn't existed before. Everything from parts data to, real-time troubleshooting and support, that kind of stuff. You're typically calling your service, technician, that's your lead tech or your service manager, and pulling those guys off of other jobs. And so having something in your pocket that you can actually rely on that, is correct and robust, and not going to leave you hanging is a big deal.
Yeah, I was just going to add something that I think they were alluding to, but I wanted to say it in maybe terms that contractors would, definitely relate to, is when you look at your warranty or your recall rate, how many, which you'll never be able to tell the exact number, but how many of those recalls were because the technician was too proud to call somebody, especially their manager, and tell them they didn't know something? Like, if you had to look at them, the technician, and more times than not, they're not trying to do a bad job. It just, one, they don't want to look silly by not knowing a simple answer. So they try something and all of a sudden it didn't work, but you don't know that it doesn't work until the next day. And all of a sudden you're back out there and you're like, well, what did this guy do? And to me, Blue On is, I think Peter, you said it, the enabler, or maybe on how do we enable these technicians to have all this a suite of information so that they can make the right diagnosis. I think is, for me, it's like empowering a technician without having to teach them. It's like, hey, go figure this out on your own. And more than likely, if you have to figure it out on your own, you're not going to forget it the next time. Whereas if someone just keeps telling you the answer, what are you going to do? You're just going to keep calling that person to give you the answer rather than figure it out on your own.
Yeah. There's a huge issue you hit there that we noticed. So, one, we didn't talk about it, but the way we created our AI, it was based on 5 years of actual live tech support calls. We had a team of 40 of like the best mechanics, in the country. These guys had 40 years experience each. They're just, unbelievable. And they would walk folks through, every known problem under the sun for 5 years. We had like hundreds of thousands of hours of conversations of tech to tech. We were able to take all that training data, put it into an AI. Now the AI answers the questions, as well as those guys. But the point I'm getting at, to Chad's point, is that techs used to take 20, 30 minutes banging their head against the wall before they would call tech support because they didn't want to admit failure to a human, right? It's just a human nature. But with the AI, they go right to the stupid question right away without any ego problem and get to the job faster. And you saw the difference. We were getting, let's say, 500 calls on tech support live. Now we get 4,000, 5,000 AI calls. So there's way more interest in finding out answers when you don't have to go through a human. And I think to Chad's point, it teaches you, but it also it relieves you of the ego issue of asking a question that you might think you should know. And I think that's a really big deal because you get to the answer much faster and you get rid of that problem.
Yeah. And it's experiential learning, right? Like these guys, I mean, I know when I was in school, I was Googling half the stuff I needed to learn, like as I was, you know, needing to learn it. And the same thing goes with AI, and that's only going to become more of the case. Like this curve of using AI in real time as needed is going to be like the new wave of how these kids, whether you're in HVAC or any other trade, or whether you're a physicist, it doesn't matter, you know, utilizing AI as you need it for educational materials or anything else, that's going to be how people learn going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the, we hear a lot of AI, this AI, that, a lot of buzz. I think a lot of it has like the integration is critical. But also it's when I think about AI, like from our world, and I think about this the same way from your world, is when we were creating this Coach AI tool for Rhino, and it was basically a call coaching platform because we've got millions of contractor phone calls and we have in-house coaches. And it was like, I just kept feeding it my own information and training it with the information that I knew. That way it constantly got better and more efficient and more efficient versus just a general AI tool, right? That doesn't have that. So maybe I'm 97% spot on accurate with my call versus this one that's like 80. Well, fuck, that's a big gap in percentage if you're talking 1,000 calls. You want them to be accurate. So I kind of envision you guys doing the same thing. You just keep feeding it, you know, these responses. Now, what I wanted to know is,
is there
any video aspect to this? Like any of the video training aspect to when you guys do, if a technician does a search for a wiring diagram, is it just straight up the diagram? Or I'm just using that as an example, anything. Is there also video attached to it?
No, right now there isn't. It's an idea we've tossed around. You know, it's basically a utility versus investment issue and how much you get out of it. It's a good question though. I think we're moving towards a couple other big breakthroughs that include, you know, more rapid conversational voice. So it's a back and forth, like you're talking to a tech as opposed to like a list of instructions. You know, that's a big deal. One thing we're launching in a couple of weeks is a really big deal is being able to ask the manual any questions. You can ask the training data, but you can also just ask the manual, hey, what's the manual say about whatever? And then it'll just come back. It'll surface the part in the manual and tell you the exact answer. No thinking required. But at your earlier point of, you know, specific AIs versus general AIs, and like, you know, people are out there using chat or Grok on HVAC, and it's a bad idea because it doesn't do AI, it doesn't do AC great. It's like 60%, 70%, 80% in some cases. And it messes up numbers badly. Like a long model number or part number, it fucks up quite often. And so you can get pretty sideways pretty quick if you rely on that. But it's your earlier point. Like it's these specific, specialized, checked, certified training sets like you're doing with your side that really makes it, you know, 99.9 effective for folks. But it's a misconception because AI is AI. Right? What the hell? Everything is one thing, but it's not, right? It's, you got to get the ones that have your particular industry dialed into your training set.
Yeah, good point. Super important because not all AI, like there's plenty of AI stuff, like searches I do where I'm like, I mean, yeah, I guess that's true, but it's not really like the best way to do the thing. And I'm noticing more and more as you pay attention, you know, to the responses, like it's getting there, but it's, you still gotta like actually train this thing. So integration, like your integration is so incredibly important in the accuracy. Are you guys seeing, and Taylor, maybe this is a question for you too, but are you guys seeing maybe it being the app being used more for a specific set of questions? Like, are you seeing, do you have like a, hey, these are the top 10 questions that everybody's asking this thing. You guys have those?
Yes.
Maybe just a few, like what those top ones are that you're seeing, like the same consistent stuff over and over again from the text.
You're not, the top ones are scary. Like they're scary simple. Yeah.
How to install air conditioner.
Not so far off. Not so far off. But I mean, I would say the top ones are pretty scary, which gives you an idea of the skill, the gap in the skill that's happening, right? With the really young guys coming on who really don't have a lot of chops and don't have, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, at Chad's shop, they do a lot more training than like a whole program, but so many places they just throw these kids in a truck, in a van, and they're clueless. Right. And so they're asking questions and you can't believe it. Right. You're just like, that can't be a real question, but yet it is. And they're common. In terms of what's our common that, you know, I think there's a lot of, we get a lot of questions on just basic stuff. Like, you know, what does this superheater subcool mean? Or, you know, what's airflow supposed to be? You know, what's my voltage reading supposed to be on this, you know, XYZ. So simple stuff. Then you also get the really nuanced stuff. Particularly, we do a lot of work with the commercial side too. And you get really nuanced, deep questions where we can surface some really, you know, very specific answers to a specific issue with a specific piece of equipment that is only relevant to that piece of equipment. That's the cool thing about the AI is it knows the unit you're working on. So it knows where to look and get really accurate answers for that exact piece of equipment, as opposed to a generalized answer on, you know, broad equipment X. That's the really big difference in our system versus like a, you know, like a ChatGPT or a Grok.
The training insights is a big deal though. I mean, so we actually give to the admin of the account a rolling 30-day, you know, top five questions asked for your account. So what are the questions your team is actually asking on a routine basis? And then you can basically scope out your own internal training for them based on that insight that you do get. So it's a little layer removed. So you're not seeing like, oh, Joe asked this one dumb question, which is going to prevent the guys from ever using the app ever again, but still gives you robust feedback as to, yeah, maybe my guys need training on this carrier equipment because it's coming up a lot.
That's a really big deal. We had to make that decision, right? Because a lot of folks wanted the questions asked by each individual tech, which if you do that, the tech's going to stop using it, right? Because then he's going to be called out. So we had to figure out this sort of like middle ground where we just give the service manager the averaged out questions that are being asked by the group, not by Johnny. And I think that's a really big benefit. So people feel open to ask the quote unquote stupid question, which you want, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask that. I was going to say, cause you don't want the tech to start to not use it knowing that they're whomever is going to see that they asked the dumb question.
Yeah.
So there's some, Chad, who's managing this for you? Like, how are you guys using this?
Yeah. So, I mean, much like they talked about, I think there's a few important pieces that I would say is, I think that while it's used to, you know, help our technicians in the field, I also think it's kind of an understanding of where we're at in this industry. Like, there aren't people like, yeah, I'd love to have a bunch of guys who have been doing this for 15 or 20 years and know everything about every unit that was ever put in. But if I want to continue to serve our customer base and continue to grow, I'm going to have to bring people in that don't have that experience. I always tell technicians when they come in, the only thing I can't train you on is experience. You're going to have to go get that. I can set you up for success. And I feel like Blue On for us has been kind of that partner in crime when it comes to elevating a technician who maybe only has 8 months of experience, elevating him to having 2 years or 3 years of experience because he has kind of essentially a field supervisor there on the call with him from a technical perspective. Like, hey, you have a resource that you can use. And yes, there's plenty of people to call in the organization, but if you're a smaller company, there's probably only one person to call that has that knowledge. Well, when you think about growing and scaling a company, that's not a scalable practice. Like, you can't just have people, you know, doing all this. Fortunately for us, you know, we have trainers and technical trainers and all of this fun stuff that's really cool to talk about. But if you were to talk to me, you know, 8-10 years ago, we didn't have all that stuff. I don't have the overhead to be hiring people that are just answering questions. And so for me, it's been kind of that nice supplement to where, one, the technician still has the confidence, because let's be honest, most of your 20 to 25 year old technicians, they know how to use Google. They know how to use ChatGPT. Like, give them the tools that they already know how to operate, where they feel confident in their diagnosis. And I know that sounds weird. Like, well, aren't they supposed to be good on the furnace? It's like, let's be honest. In today's day and age, with the access to information we have, if you're good at accessing the information, you're just as smart as the guy who's been doing it for 20 years.
Spot on.
Yeah. And that's how they learn too, right? It's a big, you know, the HVAC industry is still acting like with all the you know, associations and whatnot, like it's 15 years ago and trying to get techs to memorize stuff versus realizing these kids don't memorize shit. They index, right? And so you've got to give them the tools, to Chad's point, to index the information they need when they need it. As long as they know where to find it, they're confident, right? It's when they don't know where to find it where the wheels come off. And so, but if you try to make them memorize stuff, they're just not wired that way. That's not how they've gone through school. It's not how they've gone through life. It's not how they operate. They operate by knowing where it is, index it, go back to I need it, move on, you know?
Chad, what I just heard you say was I could be a Pierman Brothers technician.
You're in.
You could. I think I could be too. And I don't know how to fix anything because if you know how to use your resources, then you can make it work. I mean, there's YouTube, there's BlueOn, there's a number of resources that if you punch in the problem, it'll show you how to do it and you can figure it out from there.
You want to know what's super annoying? You're right. You just got to be resourceful. You know, the one thing that always seems to be like, I just can never figure it out. Perfect case scenario. Like for you guys, for you, Peter and Taylor, we bought up my daughter a house up in Flagstaff. She's going to school up at Northern Arizona University. So I'm up there this weekend and I'm trying to connect the router. I don't know why. Like, router is pretty easy. You scan the code, you recognize the router, you turn on the Wi-Fi, easy. I did it for 2.5 hours. I tapped every resource I knew, Chad, okay, to get the Wi-Fi working in the house. And guess what? No go. Couldn't get it figured out. So, but I'm resourceful. I didn't have a BlueOn for routers. Okay. I've done plenty of routers, but real talk, Chad, I had a great idea and I have you to thank for it. And then you're going to thank me for it. I think I need to be a Peterman Brothers technician for a day.
Get you a shirt.
One day. Oh dude, I'm going all out. I'm wearing the whole deal. Doing it all. And I'm.
Will you be in town? Wednesday could be a good day.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe not Wednesday.
Not right now. Maybe not right now.
But we got plenty of calls to run. So if we can get an extra 4 out of you, I'm all in. There
you go. I was thinking more like, you know, fall.
October. Yeah. Peak season.
Yeah. Actually, I probably ought to escape the heat here in Phoenix. So, okay, I have another quick question. I'm going to segue. I actually meant that, Chad. When I'm there tomorrow, we're going to figure that shit out. I'm going to be a Peterman Brothers technician for a day.
That's fantastic.
We're going to film it. So I want to talk about integration. So for you guys, so, you know, if somebody's listening right now thinking, okay, cool, this is a great tool that I would love, or that they would love for their company to use. What does integration look like? Like how easy is this thing to integrate into a business or their trainings? Like, maybe give us an idea of what it looks like. Like, cool, sounds great. Like, what? Now what? How does this thing integrate?
Yeah, we'll give you today and give you it very soon tomorrow. So right now it's a standalone application, which is extraordinarily easy to use, easy to onboard, easy to get tech signed up to, like incredibly short learning curve for techs, like hours, right? And it's meant to be shockingly simple to use. And then on the manager side, super simple. We can get teams up and running within, you know, less than a week, you know, fully operational. We just need one 30-minute meeting with the staff, one, you know, meeting with management, and we do other work for them. So it's really low impact. It's not like you're signing up for, you know, service site and you got 6 months of hell coming your way. This is like you're you know,
six months?
All right, 12 months of hell plus.
that was very nice of you, Peter.
I was being kind. I do have a deal with them. So
same.
Exactly. Keep it light. But yeah, so right now, I mean, Taylor could jump in, but real quick, it's shockingly simple. We always are, you know, people are telling us just how easy it is, but it's in the wrong place, right? It should be in your field service software workflow. It should be within where you're doing your tickets, where you're doing your invoicing. And so by the end of this year, we will be live within Service Titan as an integrated solution in two ways. You can keep the whole BlueOn apparatus, or they're creating a, like a whole other apparatus that will include it as well, but other stuff in addition. But either way, you'll be able to get the full power and benefit of BlueOn data and support right there in the system, which is really a big deal. Cause it's just, you know, it's just inherently better to not go back and forth, right, in applications. So we're working on that both with Service Titan, with House Call Pro, also with, on the commercial side, with Build Ops, Service Trade. So that's kind of been our main thrust this year, is to get the whole experience inside the field service platform to remove any notion of integration fatigue or pain. It's pretty easy as it is now, but it will be basically flipping a switch on come soon enough.
Yeah. I would say the barrier to getting onboarded right now is about as easy as it gets. We used to have this thing called the mic test. We had a technician on our team that had 40 plus years experience. And a lot of the features that we would build inside the app itself, if you couldn't hand that app over to Mike and he couldn't figure it out naturally and it failed, then that feature probably wouldn't pass. So it had to pass the mic test. So getting a technician up and running today is as simple as getting a text message from us, clicking it and signing in. And you should be able to navigate that pretty easily.
When you said pass the mic, I literally thought you meant pass the mic. And then I was able to connect the dots.
Right.
You know, on the mic thing, technician.
An older tech with really big fingers and had a hard time using phones. So it was like, if he can do it, anybody can do it. We're good. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Makes total sense, actually.
When you're designing apps in this world, you got to design it for the 60-year-old guy and the 21-year-old guy.
100%. It's got to be easy to use. It got to be, you know, low complication. I completely understand.
Super simple.
So actually, it's a great segue because, you know, one thing I had my friend Ishmael in here, Ishmael Valdez in here last week for doing a podcast, and we were just talking about some of the pain points that he's experienced with his product and same with us, you know, in marketing. My God, like, we're constantly chasing like the next thing always multiple times throughout the year. And we have to like recognize our pain points and then how do we fix those things? And is it truly a pain point? I'm sure you guys are going through some of that stuff too. And obviously those are very healthy things to go through. Chad and I talk about it as like, sometimes when you go through the pain points, that's just like the chapter. That's just one chapter in the book. That's, you know, right before the good shit in the next chapter. But what's some of the biggest pain points that you guys are experiencing, or what have you experienced, you know, that maybe you've addressed or seen, or like, or maybe that's upcoming, just like some of the things that you're kind of like got your eye on to make sure like this thing stays dialed in.
Well, there's two kinds, right? There's the human kind that relative to the experience. And I think one of the bigger pain points we have on that side is getting, whether it's the service manager or whoever is that go-to tech for questions, to commit to telling their teams to use BlueOn first, right? To break that muscle memory. If they do that for 3 or 4 weeks, gold. If they don't, it's hard to break that muscle memory and getting techs to come back. So they got to commit to that. It's a simple process, but it's worldly different if they make that commitment. Probably the number one thing to do if you want success. What else? Any add to that, Taylor?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. If you don't have management buy-in, I think for any software, we're talking to a lot of other companies in the software space, of course. And if you're not fully committed and saying like, hey, we're going to do this, and if you don't get in line with it, it'll never flow. Because we have what we call tune-up calls. So we'll sit down with teams of technicians on a routine basis, and then we'll retrain them on the platform to make sure that they know how to use it. And we've looked at the data, the usage of those accounts after a tune-up call. And there's a little bit more usage, right? Compare that to when we talk to the management team or the service manager and get buy-in and have follow-up with them. Post that conversation, the usage rate and adoption is like 5x. So it's not even comparable. So what Pete is saying is like, we've seen it time and time again. Once you get the right buy-in from the right folks and they understand how this improves their lives or the business, the whole apparatus works much better.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Chad, do you use this with Top Tech? Is this like a part of your business or no? Or is this after?
It's after. So most of those guys are running calls where there's not a whole lot of diagnosis, right? It's more maintenance related. We can train that piece of it. It's kind of when they're making that jump, probably after, for some of them, 6 months, others maybe 8 months, a year, to where they've they've progressed through our progression to where they're ready to actually like start diagnosing stuff. Most of the stuff they're running right out of top tech is, you know, 2-3 year old systems that we put in. Like they know the ins and outs of it. That's the equipment that we train them on. They know it. They know where everything is, so on and so forth. So it's a piece, but it's not something that we really expose them to early on, mainly because there's still quite a bit of hand holding early on as they get out there and they start to get their feet wet.
Yeah.
Got it. So I meant to ask this earlier and I forgot. Now does this have the, is this for all equipment? Is this like, yes, all brands? So you
all
have
brands. Yeah. Well, if it heats or cools, all brands. Yeah.
Okay. That was the downside to my deal earlier, is I only had Carrier, Bryant, and third party equipment. Yeah. So I didn't have all the other stuff, which was.
And we go from, you know, mini splits to chillers and everywhere in between.
Taylor. Okay. I think this one's for you, buddy. So Mr. Salesman, Mr. Biz Dev guy. Okay. You ready? So I was like asking this question, and I'm going to ad lib for you a little bit to give you a chance to think about it. But the, you know, I always wonder, you know, if you're up trying to sell this thing to a contractor, pitch it, educate, whatever you want to call it. And they're throwing objections at you, right? They're saying, like I do already do this or do that. Like they're throwing whatever the objections are. I'm sure you probably get the same objections. What are some of the objections that they throw at you, and then maybe give the responses to those objections. If it's 1, 2, whatever, that's fine. But you know, there's probably like the same common ones that you're getting. And the reason I asked this question is because somebody's probably maybe thinking it already about the objection, because it's a common objection. I want you to be able to give the answer on it. So did I ad lib enough to give you enough time to.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think the first thing is, look, with a lot of contractors, price is the first thing that everybody is scared about, right? I think a lot of folks, even in the summertime, like cost is a big concern for a lot of businesses, because they're always thinking through like, I have to make my business more efficient. So they're interested in our tool, but they're still like, they have a lot of, let's say, like built up frustration from other software experiences. And so what we've tried to do is, number one, we've priced the platform to make it like obviously ROI positive. If there's very minimal usage of the platform, it's obviously ROI positive. I think the other big thing, and a lot of software companies are going to have to come around to this, and it's challenging, is it's month to month. So we don't have contracts like most big platforms that are out there. There's no multi-year contract, because that's a big commitment and they don't fully understand whether or not this is going to impact their business in a major way. We're super confident in our platform and the data that we're going to provide those technicians in real time. And so we know that we can go with a month-to-month contract. They're going to stay on. If we can get those technicians just to use it, that's the big barrier. We have to get the management team to commit that they're going to implement this in their shop. And if they implement it and they enforce it, they're going to see a huge benefit in any KPI that we decide to track, which we try to do. And that's something that Peter and I have tried to work into a lot of our arrangements with these contractors, is upfront defining what the KPIs of their business is that they're most focused on, making sure we understand what that benchmark is. And then after the fact, you know, tabbing it and see where they end up. But I think price is the biggest factor. And you know, we always get past that sticking point with the solutions I just mentioned.
Yeah, I would throw in there, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, is that I think the word software and home services just has a bad name in general.
Yeah.
Right. It's, you got this one, you got that one. How do they connect? Why do I have 18 different things that I got to pull up? Where I feel like for me, at least in the exposure that I've had to Blue on, it's not a software that you have to like implement and you got to do all of these things. It's more of like, it's like a better ChatGPT. It's a specialized thing. And obviously you guys, I'm simplifying it just for listeners, just to understand that they're just, like you said, it's a 30-minute meeting. Like it's not a lift on your team of like, well, who's going to do this and who's going to do that. It's, to Taylor's point, it's literally like, how do I get the technicians engaged and excited about using this thing? And how do I show that, hey, this can provide you answers. It can make your job easier. You can do all of these things by yourself and learn and do all of these things. So I think that's an important distinction, at least for me and from my perspective and our team using it, is there was no like, you know, typically when we do a software, it's like, we got to have a project team and how many people is this going to affect and so on and so forth. And I think even with an organization of our size, it was a 30-minute meeting with the technicians to say, hey, you know, log in, you're going to get a text message, log in and use it and figure out how it works best for you and go from there.
Yeah. That I was going to say, when you asked that question, that is the number one objection besides price is, well, how long is it going to take? Like, what am I looking at here to get this going? When am I going to see results? Is it a month, 2 months? We're like, no, it's tomorrow. You know, they can't compute that because they've had such bad experiences with other SaaS platforms. You have to explain that, and to Chad's point, like walk them through that. But once they can get over that hump, it's a pretty. Then of course we get most folks, not in the summertime, but outside the summer, you know, we give them a free month. Check it out, kick the tires, right? You know, there's no risk. You guys will be up and using it within a week, and you'll see the benefit, you know, right away. But I mean, you know, just to give you an idea, most business we win 95% with an active meeting. There's like a pitch, right? A demo. And we close like 65% of those. So it's a really high hit rate, right? In terms of if we get the chance to talk to you, 2/3 of the time you're going to sign up, right? In terms of businesses, because it's just a no-brainer. Like once you understand what it is and the value prop. But getting into that meeting, that's the hardest part, right? Getting a contractor to commit to a 20-minute demo, that there's your work.
Welcome to sales, Peter.
That's the whole ball game,
baby. Well, so Chad, do you guys, well, I mean, this is really for any contractor, but two-parter. One, was implementation pretty, like, out the gate you saw, like, they came to did the training and it's like, boom, shit, next day one, day two, day three, there's like, you know, everybody's using it and like you're getting some feedback from them, or like it was just like you guys are off to the races. I mean, it's a big organization, so like you had a lot of success with it quick.
Yeah, I think we've seen success with it. I think that where we have to continue is that while there isn't a whole lot of like lift to getting it going, it is continual reinforcement. It's like anything, right? You want to sell more memberships? Well, talk about it every damn week, you know? Hey, yep. You want to get better at the turnover process? Well, don't just talk about it at the beginning of May and expect it's going to last through the summer. And so where we have to get better is continually encouraging people, showing success stories with it, having the technicians talk about it. I think that they're, at least in ours, as I've talked to people, it's more an organic thing, because there's no better sales pitch than not my manager telling me to use it. Right. It's my buddy who I typically call, who's saying, hey dude, why don't you just punch that into Bluon? Why don't you just, oh shoot, I haven't even used that yet. Yeah, man, just punch it in. I was using it. And like, it's almost just like that, you know, it's kind of like a popularity thing, right? Oh, the cool kid's using it. Like maybe I ought to use it too. Like he knows all the answers. I usually call and bug him. Like, well, he just said to use it and he said he uses it. So it must be okay to use. And I think that's the biggest piece is these our technicians are extremely proud individuals. They get paid to know the answers to customer problems, and giving them a resource, it can somewhat be like deflating, like, right? Like, oh shoot, I don't know the answer. I got to go to Google. Whereas, you know, knuckleheads like me, I actively look for ways to use Google or, you know, ChatGPT, like, all right, just give me the answer. I don't know. And so I think it's important to meet your techs where they're at. And if we know that this to be true, then let's give them resources that they can use and be successful and really see the success on their own, right? They don't have to give the credit to solving that customer problem to Bluon.
Yeah.
They can take the credit for themselves.
That's right.
Because yes, we have a log in the back that says they use Bluon, but I don't care how they got to the answer. I'm just excited you got to the answer and the customer's happy.
Bingo. And you give them carrots too. Like one of the things we introduced, man, it's got to be like 5-6 months ago now, but in the AI function, Master Mechanic, they can scan the nameplate, just punch in the common problem and say job summary. And it'll craft this beautiful job summary outlining the steps they should have taken. If they didn't take them, they're still going to write them out there. So Mr. Jones, I did X, Y, Z, boom, boom, boom on this GSX, blah, blah, blah. Solve this problem. Beautiful paragraph, cut and paste. No typing required. Elegant solution. Tech feels great. Homeowner feels great. And that's a good carrot because I don't have to type that damn thing as a tech, you know, which is a pain in the ass. So yeah, give them carrots as well as, you know, just the basic solutions, things that make their life easier.
Yeah, I will tell you that piece right there. Like, we take it for granted sitting in the office. Try to type out a paragraph on an iPad.
Brutal.
More importantly, try to type it out while you're sweating. It's hot. And you're literally, we always made fun of the people who, like, you know, what was they called? Chicken. What was it called? Like, just poking with your fingers.
Hunt and peck.
That's what you do with an iPad. And we give it to these technicians and we're like, hey, yeah, go be a technician. But also, if you don't mind, type out an entire paragraph in great English that sounds great to the customer on an iPad while you're trying to solve a problem. And so for me, it's like, we are so, how do we make their lives easier? And to me, Bluon is a perfect example of how we make their lives easier because they signed up to be a technician. They signed up to do problems. Meanwhile, we are forcing our technicians to be, you know, typist, warehouse clerks, you know, master mechanic, like all of these things that they didn't sign up for, but we need them to do it. So how do we utilize tools like Bluon and the like to make their lives easier? If we can make their lives easier, they can spend more time making the customer happy.
Amen. Hey,
did you guys hear him slip in? He uses Chad GPT.
With a specialized
version. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably need a model for that. It probably wouldn't give a whole lot of good answers, but, you know, hey, here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I mean, the summary thing is a really big deal. In fact, the techs discovered it. The techs were using the summary before we introduced the feature. They were asking the AI, hey, write me a summary based on this, this, and this, and it was doing it. Then we just automated it to make it super simple. But we've seen shops that have been able to increase their customer reviews by implementing that as a mandatory function. So everybody's getting like a really well-written customer review, job summary to increase that, you know, 5-star from the customer.
Love it, guys. Well, we are at the top of the hour. So here's the deal. If you could just give me a few more moments, Chad, and gentlemen, is there any question that I didn't ask that you guys wish I would have that you could share with the group? And if not, it could just be something simple of like what's next. And then of course, you know, however, you know, somebody can connect with Bluon if they're interested from here. And I heard you say first month free, Peter. I heard you say that.
We usually don't do it on the summertime, but if you're coming from this, you know, podcast, just let us know.
There we go. Perfect. Yeah. Great. See, there you go, listeners. Just call him out when I heard him say it. You probably heard him say it. Wrote that shit down. Guaranteed you three and you remember that. So yeah.
All good.
Okay. Anyhow, like what is it, or, you know, maybe what's a good like closing, you know, question I could have asked or something you guys can share before we hop off here?
I mean, I think that, I don't know if it's a question, but you know, we just, in this era of decreasing technician availability, there's less and less out there to get, right? The pot's shrinking, not growing. The skill set's shrinking, not growing. And I think what Chad said earlier of, you know, you can, if guys know how to do research, know how to use these tools and are like, you know, physically able in the world, which some of these guys are not, but let's say most of them are, you know, you all of a sudden have a tool, if you focus on it, to build your own technician group, as opposed to having to rely on an existing pool. That's a big deal, right? Because you know, if you want to grow your business and you want to scale it, that wasn't available before, right? That was just not, it was a big no, right? You had to go steal someone else's techs or figure out how to get that labor over. That's no longer the case. You can build your own and you can really, you know, build a top shelf output that is, you know, a competitive advantage, not a disadvantage. I think that's a sea change, you know, in the industry if you take advantage of it.
Love it. Well, listen, here's one thing that I always like to share. You know, I think I was talking to Logan, maybe, I can't remember if it was a Pantheon or Home Service Freedom or somewhere, like maybe last year at the event. And he was talking about, I was like, Logan, I don't know what the hell Bluon is, man. Like, what, like, you need to explain it to me better. and I'm not calling you out, Logan. I apologize. I guess I totally am calling him out, but it just took me a minute to kind of learn it and understand it because, I mean, no offense, I get pitched so much stuff all the time to be either be a part of Rhino or to be a part of podcast or whatever. So it took me a while, but then like there's some heavy hitters using this, heavy hitters that use blue on them. And like I said, you got Peterman Brothers. I mean, Darius over FH Fur, APL, Sammy Apex Pros, Gettle. Like you guys have the 1 hour. I think you guys have the 1 hour friend.
Yeah, we got service experts now across the country. We got,
like these guys don't just jump on board for some shit because it's cool. Maybe they're making it cooler, right? Although I guess the cool kids are doing it. So you should too. So clearly there's something there. Like, and again, I don't know. We don't ever bring somebody on here just because, you know, they want to be a sponsor on here. Again, we had this ahead of time. Like I genuinely have to believe that the product is one that's great for the industry, for you, the listener, for the contractors. And this is one like this to me seems like a total no brainer. You don't even have an excuse not to use it. It's month to month. You get a free month now because you just got to mention To The Point podcast. So you get to try it out. And if you don't like it, then you say, pound sand, but the odds are that, if you implement it and use it, it gives you more billable hours. Like, yeah, it's a pretty good fucking deal. So
and you'll have happier techs. You will have happier techs if that's meaningful to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Happier techs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keeping them.
Exactly. Happier techs that stay. Don't leave the roost. Exactly right.
So, hey, what's the best way for these guys getting, listen, Taylor, you're on the sales side, bro. So this is your time to shoot your shot. Yeah. This is what's the best way for these guys to get in touch with either you or Blue One in general to be able to like maybe just get this process started?
No, I think any general question at all, no matter how big or small, you should contact Pete immediately. hour during the day or night. He's available.
Share a cell phone. Share a cell phone right now.
His number is 949. Yeah. But on a serious note, feel free to contact me. You can contact me directly at tdisler@blueon.com. We can put it in the show notes or wherever you want.
Or you can just go to blueon.com and schedule a demo.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet if you want to get in quick. And like Pete said, he's giving away the gifts today. So if you want to get 30 days free, we'll honor that.
Hell yeah. Let's go. I appreciate you guys doing that. I didn't mean to call you out on that, but I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, no problem. Of course. Yeah. We're good.
Chad, you got any closing notes, brother? Are you ready to log off? I mean, what do you want to do? You want to close this out?
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate you guys spending some time. I mean, I think if anything on this podcast, we're trying to provide value to people, expose them to tools and items they can use to hopefully grow their business. You know, for us, I think Blue On has been a good thing. As it relates to making our technicians' lives easier and allowing them to gain that experience, maybe even a little bit faster. So to me, if you've got technicians on your team that need more experience and need it faster, which I would assume is a yes for everybody, this is a great tool to hopefully increase that rate at which they get their experience. And so I'm excited that you guys are on here. Excited that you guys shared today with our listeners what you guys have to offer. Again, from my own personal experience, I would recommend looking at the product and figuring out how it can help your business grow. I think it's a true game changer when it comes to the technical support that all of our technicians need. Think about how many times you use Google or whatever it may be today, well, our technicians need that same support.
Amen. Decreased callbacks, increase the retention of your technicians, more billable hours. This is easy to integrate. You got no fucking excuses. So just, give it a shot. Check it out. Plus, you get a month free. Okay. So
check it out.
So let's make it happen. Gentlemen, I appreciate both of you for coming on here. Thanks for giving us your time.
Right on. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
All right. All our listeners, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No, zero days.